Wednesday, 8 a.m. It's that time we go around the AFC North. We go to all these places. Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh. Lima, you'll take it away when we go to Pittsburgh. And the first person we welcome in, Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Ken, is this Ken?
Yes, sir.
Ken, let me ask you this. How frustrating on a scale of 1 to 10 was Sunday?
Well, it was probably a 15, and it's something that we've unfortunately gotten used to because this rivalry hasn't been much of a rivalry of late. The Ravens have lost 8 and 9 to the Steelers. Lamar's now 1 and 4 against the Steelers, and I think it's pretty clear that that team, especially in that stadium, is in their head. They're in Lamar's head. They're in Harb's head. Tomlin now coaches them every time. And something weird's going to happen, and it's going to negatively affect the Ravens in a football game, and they're going to lose in Pittsburgh. That's what happens.
Well, just the fact that Pittsburgh, they weren't exactly lighting up the scoreboard.
No.
You know it's going to be a slugfest against them.
Yeah, well, the Ravens defense, which has been pathetic for most of the year, they benched Marcus Williams. They put our Darius Washington at safety. They put Kyle Hamilton on the back end. Eventually, Tre'Davious White, who they acquired for nothing, went to outside corner, and the back end of the defense played well. Roquan Smith looked like Roquan Smith for the first time this year. Then he got hurt. We'll see if he plays against the Chargers. But the defense was good. They gave up 6 field goals. 3 of them came off turnovers, and yet they still couldn't win the football game.
What has been the sentiment? I saw there was some conversation in the lead-up to this game, and then Mike Tomlin with his comments afterwards about Patrick Queen and one man's trash, another man's treasure. What are people saying in Baltimore?
Well, people are frustrated with the Ravens. I think Mike Tomlin knows exactly what he's doing. Mike Tomlin with his Deontay Johnson comments leading into the game, like who knows Deontay Johnson better than Mike Tomlin? He knows exactly. And the Ravens spent the first quarter of the game, or at least Lamar Jackson did, trying to force feed the ball to Deontay Johnson. Meanwhile, Zay Flowers is running wide open the other side of the field. He doesn't even look at him. I think Mike Tomlin has of late performed a master class against the Ravens, and he just keeps staying. He's living rent-free in their heads right now.
Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, as they get ready to take on the Chargers Monday night at 8:15. Are we seeing the final games of Justin Tucker with the Baltimore Ravens, Ken?
Sad, Ken. It's very sad.
Yeah, everybody's athletic mortality finishes at different times. I will tell you this. John Harbaugh, at his weekly Monday press conference, was asked if they were going to bring in competition for Justin Tucker. And I didn't think we'd ever get to that point. But here's a guy that missed 2 field goals in the first half. And you can say, well, they're 47 and 50 yarders, and those aren't easy. The other guy went 6 for 6 and hit 3 from 50 plus, including a 57 yarder. So, yeah, I think we're getting there. I think that, unfortunately, this was a guy that was ahead of the curve hitting 50 yarders when nobody else was. And now you've got guys that came out of nowhere, like this Brendan Aubrey and Jake Bates hitting 55 plus with ease. It's not a good look, and he's costing them football games.
Do you have an opera in Baltimore?
Do I have a what?
Do they have an opera in Baltimore?
An opera? Well, we have an opera house.
Okay.
Sure.
Will he be able to sing at the opera house in the future?
I'm sure that he has. He's beloved in this city. And I think there's a lot of people, it's sort of like the Joe Flacco thing all over again, where people just want to remember the great stuff he did and don't want to acknowledge. There's a portion of this fan base that don't want to acknowledge that there's a problem here with Justin Tucker.
Ken, he's 34 years old. Morton Anderson kicked till he was 72.
Yeah, but the
George Blanda, Ken.
The standard was, you and I both know the standard was much lower then than it is now. Like those guys, if they hit 75% of their field goals, they were golden. Like, and they weren't kicking from 50. But we just had Matt Stover, who was a former, you guys know Matt Stover.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, he kicked till he was 41, but the standard was different even for him. Like this is now a new era of kickers, and they have to drill the 50-plus ones, and they have to drill at a higher percentage than they did then. Yeah, Morton Anderson's a Hall of Fame. In the Hall of Fame now, he'd probably get cut today. Like, it's a different world than what used to be with kickers, and I think Justin Tucker is not living up to that standard.
So what is the seriousness at which you take the Los Angeles Chargers? Because we've seen them twice. Saw them once against Cincinnati and obviously saw them once against us. And they just line up and run the ball at you and wait for you to make mistakes.
Yeah, it's Jim Harbaugh football, and Jim Harbaugh does nothing but win. He's won everywhere he's been, and I take them very seriously because the other part is they do run the football well, but Justin Herbert's on a bit of a heater right now as well, and I am a little concerned that a guy named Will Disley is going to tear up the Ravens because Roquan Smith may not play in this game, and Kyle Hamilton's banged up. So I take this game very seriously, and the Ravens, their bye is late, and they're banged up, and they've got the Chargers on Monday night, and then at home against the Eagles, and I could see them stumbling into the bye, losing three in a row.
Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore as the Ravens get set to take on the Chargers. Remember, all guests appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Our next guest, Austin Elmore, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, as they're on their bye week where things are going bad for the Bengals, and T. Higgins is mad with the Bengals. T. Higgins, upset, rightfully so. Question. That's a question. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm. There's just so much going on, and now T. Higgins being mad is another part of the entire equation. And everybody here is mad. Everybody is mad at everybody all the time. Whether it's Jamar Chase, whether it's T. Higgins, this season just has not gone the way anybody has wanted it to go. And Higgins is basically like everybody else, which is just pissed off.
Austin, I'm sorry. You've never been with us before during the segment. You didn't know the cadence. You didn't know if that was a question or just a statement. I apologize.
Well, whether it's a cheap shot. Sometimes here, we just do that.
That is true, but he's new with us, so he doesn't know that yet, and we usually do that with James Rapine. Next question, Evan McPherson. Is he on his way out of Cincinnati? Boy, I saw a lot of fans saying some nasty things in his direction after last week's loss.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's on his way out. It's perplexing how he has just struggled after having the nickname Money Mac for being as good as he was for so long. We're starting to call him Maybe Mac. Some are calling him Cryptocurrency Mac. He's just not very good. And, Zach Taylor cannot continue to operate the offense under the assumption that from anything past 45 yards, he should, kick the field goal. I don't think they're going to bring in any competition. I think they're going to stick with Evan, but Zach's just going to have to change the way he operates the offense.
How do Bengal fans feel when the talk of money gets shoved down their throat a lot? I mean, Chris Collinsworth, during the game, during the broadcast, is bringing up the money situation. How does the average fan feel? We go through that all the time with our baseball team. As I know, you're not
supposed to do that in the NFL.
How do they feel about that?
Yeah, there's a lot of frustration because I think everyone's worried that the Carson Palmer thing is going to happen all over again. And people think Burrow and Chase are clearly the two best players maybe that's ever played for the Bengals when you come down to it. And you don't want to waste greatness. And that's what we've seen so far this season. And so it's like kind of like the worst kept secret in the world that the way that the Bengals do contract structure, the way that they do guaranteed money is going to hurt them. And then when you look at all these examples over the years, well, they didn't pay Jesse Bates because they were going to pay T. Higgins. Well, they didn't pay T. Higgins, so now what's going to happen? And then the Jamar Chase contract happened. And then Kevin Zeitler for years and years ago, and I think you guys know this well, didn't sign here. Nope. And then he's still playing and having a great career. Andrew Whitworth is one of those guys. They drafted two tackles after Whitworth left, and they both stunk. So that sort of thing has been an issue over and over and over again. And I think Bengals fans are just begging for the Bengals outside of Joe Burrow. They haven't gone outside that comfort zone in the way that they do money and the way that they structure contracts. And that frustration is boiling over. I mean, I know everyone's yelling on Twitter all these days, but like, there has been I think there's just this feeling of like deep in this pit in your stomach of like, gosh, I don't want to go through this again. Can they please change? And I think that's what we're all waiting on.
Austin Elmore, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, as the Bengals are on a bye week and things are not going very well right now with them, but they're not going any better with us. And they're certainly not about to get better.
Yeah, we welcome in from Pittsburgh, 93.7 The Fan, Andrew Filippone, who joins us now. Will it be a Steeler takeover at Brown Stadium on Thursday night?
Well, I'll answer that question. I want to congratulate you guys first, though, on your syndication deal.
Uh-oh. I don't even want to know. Do I want to know?
I just hear you got. I just hear you guys so much on our morning show now, I figured you were getting residuals for it. It will not be a takeover, and let me explain why. I don't think Steelers fans who live in Western Pennsylvania, there will be some of them who make the trip to Cleveland Thursday night, no doubt in the bad weather. But so many of these Steelers takeovers are because they go to cities where Steelers fans fly in from around the world, from around the country. And I just don't think they do that for Cleveland because it's so close to Pittsburgh. If they're going to go to a game that's close to Pittsburgh, they're just going to come to Acrisure. So Mike Tomlin actually alluded to that on Monday. He said this is one of the few places where they don't take over the stadium, and I think that's why.
All right, so your game against Baltimore, it was a physical game. It looked like more like a January game than it would be November. And you get the victory. So you're feeling very good, I'm sure, about right now your edge over Baltimore in the AFC North. However, the fact that you didn't get into the end zone, is that something causing some consternation with fans?
I'd say slight consternation. Russell Wilson had the worst QBR of any quarterback in the NFL last week, worse than Mac Jones, worse than Kirk Cousins. And I don't think he played a good game. I actually gave him a D for that performance against the Ravens. If not for the incredible play of their defense, that would have been one of the biggest storylines in the NFL this week. What the heck happened to Russell Wilson against the league's worst pass defense? So he threw a terrible red zone interception to Darnell Washington, actually to Marlon Humphrey, where Washington was targeted. And they stalled every time they got the ball because of great turnovers by the defense in short field. So, yes, first bad game with Russ, but they won and they beat a team that now has them in a great position to win the AFC North, boys.
What are you doing with Russell Wilson and his future?
I think they're going to sign him to an extension. And I think the extension is going to be at a hometown discount. I think that Russ has got a little bit of the Tom Brady gene in him, where he cares so much about his public image, and he's made enough money, and his wife's rich, where I could see him taking a hilariously low salary just so people compliment him and praise him for wanting to win instead of wanting to suck the team dry and take every last penny from them. So I'm not saying he's going to do it for the vet minimum again like he's doing this year with the Steelers, but I could see him signing a deal where he's making only $15 to $20 million the next couple of years.
All right, I'm continuing to get my questions funneled to me from Ken the Sportsman. Mike Tomlin, are people singing a different tune right now about the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yes, because it was his genius, his in-game decisions, the game of chicken he played with John Harbaugh on the two-point conversion, the way that his team has bottled up Lamar Jackson like no other. He is getting his approval rating, boys, the highest it's been in years here. I would argue the highest it's ever been as Steelers head coach. He is beloved here. He is getting his flowers, as Nick Wilson likes to say. And he is someone right now that fans believe is capable of leading them back to the Super Bowl.
All right. Listen to this clip and give me your instant reaction.
I've never complained about, you know, the trophy not being in my house and vice versa. You know, he shouldn't be feeling two ways about, you know, it going to me. You know, I'm just going to play the game. I don't play against TJ, he doesn't play against me, but we have a plan to, you know, go out and do what we're supposed to, win the game and dominate on defense. You know, it's up for grabs this year. See the best man win.
React to me.
Yeah, you're not allowed to call somebody a whiner or a crybaby when you took a player's helmet off and hit him over the head with it. You should at all times, if you're Myles Garrett, be nothing but respectful and diplomatic when talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Kenny.
You almost never beat them, and the way that you've acted Kenny. In your career against them, so abhorrent, you should probably not even be in the NFL.
Clown comments from the Chief Clown of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and you know you were going to get me out of here, and here you got me.
Get you out of where, Ken?
Why do you turn my show into a house of lies every time you come in? Why should he be respectful? First of all, who won the last playoff game between the two teams?
What's the Browns
record? Who won the last playoff game between the two teams?
Who won the last playoff
who game? Who won the last playoff game between the two teams?
The Browns?
The Browns won it. Where was TJ Watt when his teammate Cam Hayward was accepting the Walter Payton Man of the Year? Why wasn't he at the awards ceremony? Why was he at his home pouting? Why did he pout? Tell me about the pouting and the moaning, Pony.
Because he got screwed by the writers.
Oh, he got screwed by the writers. Sounds like somebody having a pout.
Yeah, and he should, because he got ripped off.
Yeah, I know. One loser talks to another loser, and that's what they say. That's why they don't win playoff games over there.
So wait a minute. You think this is a loser organization right now? Is that what you're saying?
I think it's a loser mentality to sit there and pout over an award when you should have been going to support your teammate. That's what Mike Tomlin did. Did Mike Tomlin not go to the award ceremony?
He did. Do you think T.J. Watt's got a loser mentality?
I think that he's got a pouting mentality, and if you're a pouter, you're a loser.
You called him a loser 2 seconds ago. Come
on. If you're a pouter, you're a loser. If you're a pouter, you are a loser.
Okay, so a guy that's 8-2 and the best player on their defense right now is a loser.
How many playoff games? How many playoff games has he won with the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Zero.
How many playoff games has Myles Garrett won with the Browns?
One. So that makes Myles Garrett better.
Well, in your book, doesn't it? He always shows up for his teammates. He's always there for his teammates. Yeah, except when they're accepting major awards. Except when they're doing that.
It sounded like,
'cause he wants to pout.
Sounded like T.J. Watt was in the room with him there for a
minute. No, T.J. Watt always shows up big in big games. I don't know. You guys play in the playoffs. You never seem to win a playoff game.
It is pretty incredible.
Browns won their playoff game against the Steelers.
T.J. Watt era, he does not have a playoff win. That's incredible.
It's not hard to beat him. I want to give you credit. You have sharpened my iron more than anybody else possibly could have. Unbelievable. You should take credit for this. Had I not been arguing with you for years, who knows? Who knows how hard he would make my life? But he just makes it so easy. And that's why I wanted to get good information from him before I set him up, before you set him up and I had to come in and take the thing off the rails. Big thanks to everybody who joined us today during Around the AFC North. We have a whole part of a show coming up still, a whole another half of a show coming up. Iron Eagle, trust me, folks, it's not going to get as contentious with Iron Eagle as it just did with Andrew Phillip. Nah, I don't see it going that way. Not on my end, anyway.
Well, Iron's been texting me things.
Unless Iron Eagle wants to take shots at, wow, I just hear your show all the time on Kevin Harlan's cell phone. Like, I don't think he's going to stay that now, is he? Now, that'd be a hell of a day. Pony has tweeted to get people upset with me. Then I called T.J. Watt a loser. I said a pouter is a loser. Thank you very much. And as I've expressed to him, Pony, no matter what you do, they're not going to love you over there. You can try as hard as you can. They're not going to love you.
I thought it was a good segment.
It was a great segment.
We had some new blood on from Cincinnati.
What'd you think of him, Austin Elmore?
I thought he's good. I thought he was really good.
Thanks to Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, for jumping on the show. And Bob Haney next week when he joins us on the show, hopefully. Maybe it'll be Boot Powell for all we know at this juncture. Coming up at 9:20 this morning, the great Iron Eagle will join us on the show.
Maybe.
Unless it's accidentally Don Crickey or something like that by the time we get to that time. Anyway, it's a tremendous honor. At least it was a year ago. Now I think it might have changed. Explain your feelings about Stephen Vogt winning Manager of the Year. We're going to get back to Darius and the whole thing. Because there's some people who are saying we should be harder on Darius this morning. And we didn't get a chance to let that breathe. I'm going to let that breathe coming up here momentarily. About people saying we should have been harder on Darius Garland today. But how do you see Stephen Vogt won Manager of the Year? I think it's a tough thing to win, obviously. Terry won it 3 times here,
yes.
Right?
Yes,
three times. See how many times he wins the NL Manager of the Year. I don't think he's ever won NL Manager of the Year.
Ooh, I like that.
Might be a chance now with the Cincinnati Reds.
It was a Philly?
Yeah.
Yeah, he flamed out in Philly pretty quickly.
Yes, he did. And then in Boston, he was obviously pretty famous, and in Cleveland, he was pretty famous.
They refused to give him NL Manager of the Year in Boston.
No, they refused to do it. Wasn't going to happen. Does the Kevin Stefanski two-time coach
so
of the year?
Unfair.
It is unfair.
It
is categorically unfair, but it is categorically a thought that passes a lot of people's
now
minds.
Now we don't want guys to win coach
because
of the year, manager of the year.
Every time we bring up Kevin Stefanski, we used to say two-time coach of the year, and there were so many people who said, guys, enough is enough. It's a voted on thing. Don't want to hear it. Okay. All right, like we must know this. Within the course of 2 years, you could have 3 coach of the years in all 3 sports. Stefanski, who by the time Kenny Atkinson may win it, may be gone for all we know. And you've had Stephen Vogt. and obviously Stefanski, as I just mentioned. So you could have three guys in two seasons across all three sports win Coach of the Year. I gotta ask, does Kevin Stefanski being a two-time Coach of the Year, with the way things are going for the Browns right now, emotionally, logically it doesn't, and logically it shouldn't. I'm asking your emotions. Does it take something away from Stephen Vogt winning Manager of the Year?
No. No, it does not.
Not emotionally?
It shouldn't.
You're a lying sack of potatoes.
It should not. I'm very happy for Stephen Vogt. This is well earned.
He was fantastic. He exceeded
all my wildest expectations for what he was going to do with that team this year. To be sitting there in a bar in Buffalo rooting for the Guardians in the playoffs against the Yankees with all these idiot Yankee fans around me, with Mitch watching in Cleveland, all the idiot Yankee fans, and I'm sitting there going, I am proud of my manager. I'm proud of my manager. This guy is going to be a really good one, and I absolutely love it. It has nothing to do. I wasn't thinking about Kevin Stefanski yesterday, except when people texted me about Kevin Stefanski winning Coach of the Year twice. Then I had to think about it. And I was
so
disgusted.
What are you thinking?
And
what are you thinking, buddy?
I was disgusted. Can we not enjoy these hard-earned,
honors? They are. I want honesty out of people. I want honesty out of people. Because people are fit to be tied with the Cleveland Browns. Did yesterday Stephen Vogt winning AL Manager of the Year, now it happened less than an hour before the Cavs tipped off, Stephen Vogt wins Manager of the Year because of what's going on with the Browns recently, and because of the arguments that a lot of people have made, like, you can't keep telling me Kevin Stefanski's Coach of the Year, which some people are going, Ken, how many Coach of the Years have won a Super Bowl recently? Like, that was said. So if that's the way you feel, and you've made that argument, you can't tell me it doesn't mix in at least a little bit.
So should I be rooting for him to be a finalist and not a winner?
No, that's where it makes no sense at all. You don't want him to be just a finalist and not a winner. You don't want him to not win it. But when he does win it, you cannot tell me emotionally it's somewhere in the back of your head going, yeah, I was happy when Kevin Stefanski won Coach of the Year. I want answers.
Look,
I want the truth.
I'm not celebrating. I'm not having people over.
474-0092.
We're not doing champagne showers over this.
Champagne wishes.
But I do think it's a nice nod. Now, fans are getting mad at
other showers we could have.
Yes, there are many. I'm not going to sit here and every day have to argue
with showers. Go ahead.
When people consistently
had to do it.
Now they the way they say two-time Coach of the Year, I can't stand that. Like, he earned it. He earned it. Stefanski earned him. What would you have rather had him be a terrible head coach those years? I don't understand why that now works against him by a lot of fans. Like, obviously, Stefanski was well regarded. He's having a terrible season this year. It's been a total flop. That doesn't nullify everything he had done before that. And so,
no.
I'm not going to do that with Steve. If Steve Vogt is terrible this year,
when you break it down logically, it's nonsensical. It's really nonsensical.
Same thing happened for Mike Brown. Mike Brown won Coach of the Year when they won 66 games.
Yeah.
And then it got used against him.
Well, but this is part of what I think we're getting to here. It's Coach of the Year. You obviously did something right. But it can't be Coach Forever. Coach of the Forever.
Right. Yeah, you're not a great coach forever just because you won it. Yes,
yeah.
I agree with you.
Like, he's been a great coach in the past. Now, I don't think that all that just went away. However, when you make him fire people, that kind of goes counteractive. When you put him with a quarterback who's a basket case, that's kind of counteractive. Now, maybe he wanted that quarterback who's a basket case. It wouldn't revoke Coach of the Year from last year, but in the grand scheme of things, it would certainly take away from it. Now, wouldn't it, for people's emotions? But for Stephen Vogt, it's like, I can't deny you the greatness of what you did last year. 92 wins, the AL Central pennant, a run to the ALCS for the first time in 8 years, which, boy, it seems like a city like Cleveland and a market like Cleveland should not have a run every 8 years to the ALCS, but here they are because they're a successful, well-run organization. But I do think that it does emotionally play into everybody, because if you've made this argument over the past, how long's the season been? 2 months. If you made this argument over the last 2 months and said, Kenny, Anthony, you guys can't say coach of the year, two-time coach of the year. Stop saying two-time coach of the year. Stop it. Get it out of your lexicon. I'm gonna tell you guys off if you do it again. And then all of a sudden, he wins manager of the year. It's in the back of your head. There's no way. You cover all three teams. You follow all three teams as a fan. There's no way it doesn't play into that. These things mix. Like it or not, fair or not, and it's not fair. They mix.
Yeah, most of the guys that have won this, I mean, I know we've seen in the NFL, there have been some guys that have won it where you're like, huh? Over time. I mean, you know, Jason Garrett as coach of the year. Ron Rivera, I think, has two of those coach of the years. All right, but in the American League, just look at the American League. All right, Brandon Hyde, Orioles last year. Terry Francona, Kevin Cash, Rocco Baldelli, Tito again. Now, there was a Jeff Banister. If you put a gun in my head, I wouldn't have been able to tell you what team he managed. It was the Texas Rangers. I'm just being honest.
High on baseball with Anthony Lima.
But Ron Gardenhire, Joe Madden.
Hey, you know Ron Gardenhire.
Mike Socia.
Good last name. Mike Socia is a well-known guy.
Jim Leland, you heard of him?
Jim Leland.
Ozzie Guillen.
Anybody who likes cigarettes at any time in their life like Jim Leland. Ozzie Guillen. Those are managers of the year, man. Those are successful guys.
I think it's a good sign. I think everybody should. You don't have to, again, we have to throw a parade.
It's not a bad sign.
Over him doing this.
It's not a bad sign. Kevin Stefanski didn't become a boob because he won coach of the year. In people's eyes, he might have become a boob for something completely different. He might have been a boob for, if this is true about you saying about him having to fire people he didn't want to fire, then if you didn't put your foot down, maybe it's boobery to some of the fans out there.
Kadarius Toney play. I don't think you lose one of your coach of the years over that, but you know, there have been some people I could see wanting to take it away.
Wait a minute. They're two and seven going into that game. Do you really care that Kadarius Toney got a look?
How many times did they run that play, you think?
In practice?
Yes. How many times? He was supposed to be a kick returner.
It looks like less than two.
But greater than
zero. You can't not practice a play and do it in a game. Guys, that's football 101. Like, we did have a moment in youth football where I swear to God, I can't believe I'm comparing the Browns to youth football, but here we go, where I had a coach who wanted us to take a knee, and I go, it's not installed. They don't know how to do it. We can't just go under center and take
a knee.
That's
a great point.
And I, like,
that's
the next week,
coaching.
We were going, hey, get him under center so we could take, because it was a victory formation. He's like, why are we doing shotgun? I go, because that's what's taught. They don't know anything else. I had another couple of kids yelling at each other over a punt. I go, they can't yell at each other over a punt. You don't practice punts. Because the rules, we didn't even know whether or not you could punt. I swear to God, it's like they make it up as they go every now and then on whether or not we can punt or not. Owen knows this.
Well, it was very apparent when we played in the horseshoe that you guys didn't know.
Oh, boy.
Well, no, it's true. No. That's a shot. I'll tell you that. I don't like that. But, you know, whatever. I'll take it. We lost. But you would get different refs, and refs would be like,
rules do change week to week.
Yeah, if you get different refs and it's just up to their whim and they go, yeah, we're doing live punts, or no, we don't need to waste our time doing live punts. Okay, well, if you had to do a punt and I had two kids yelling at each other, I go, what are you guys yelling at each other for? We don't practice this. You can't yell at each other for doing something we don't practice. So I would hope Kevin Stefanski, now that we're back on track, wouldn't just say, hey, Kadarius, let's go try this.
I don't know.
That's irresponsible.
I had the feelings of Stefanski going, we need a play open up some eyes.
You would never
Tony,
do that.
Tony,
you would never. You would never do that.
Me?
You would never do that.
He's sitting on the bench with his helmet off.
You would never.
We're going to run that play. That's like the wheel of plays and the wheel of players.
Like,
we're going to spin the first wheel.
Well, they
dot,
go
dot, 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 Tony.
They transverse each other.
What play are we going to run? Dot, 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 dot.
Was it Martin Lawrence in the SNL skit at the end of the bench in the Nets jersey? Because he was the 12th man, and the whole thing was he was like making dinner at the end of the bench and all that stuff.
By the way, you know who won Coach of the Year after Kevin Stefanski?
Who?
Mike Vrabel.
Uh-oh. God. We don't. Come on. Cavs played last night. We don't need to do that right now. Getting back to the Cavs here in a moment. This Seth McLaughlin, he tore his Achilles yesterday at practice, the Ohio State lineman.
Is that
as they
official?
Get ready to take on Indiana.
Is everything official?
Well, according
there?
To the Columbus Dispatch, that's what they wrote. This is 10:03 p.m. last night. Joey Kaufman and Bill Rabinowitz. If it comes from Rabinowitz.
That's true.
I don't know Joey Kaufman. If it comes from Bill, that's probably pretty good. Ohio State starting center Seth McLaughlin tore his Achilles tendon in practice Tuesday. And it's led a lot of people down there. Now, this isn't what he wrote. This is what I'm seeing. It's led a lot of people down there in Columbus to be mad at the turf that's at the Woody Hayes Center and at the Shoe. They're upset at the. Would that be an Achilles injury, though?
I always thought that was more.
Knee, you know where I stand
ACL,
on all this stuff.
MCL,
as a guy who's recently been PCL. On that turf in Columbus and specifically
and,
Ohio
and,
Stadium.
And one. And one down
and
there.
Has a victory. It's 1-0 okay. right now in the
all right.
shoe.
All right. Yeah.
I can tell you that that turf did not feel like an Achilles tearing turf. That did, however, I could see how maybe a PCL. QCL.
So meniscus? I realized yeah. I stood on the same field as Woody Hayes that day.
Yep.
And I also stood on the same sideline as Rich Rod, wearing the same color as Rich Rod got rolled in the game I went
oh,
to.
Yeah.
Boy, I was having a hell of a time. I was sober, too. Wasn't afterwards, but I was sober for the game.
Jesse Owens, by the way, ran track.
Yeah, but
at that
the
facility.
Track's gone.
The track is gone,
yeah.
yes.
Track is gone. They've expanded the...
Yeah, I didn't see it.
The seats. The track is... I mean, maybe it's still underneath the concrete. I'm not sure. I didn't get to see. There was really only certain parts they would let us walk through.
Isn't it wild to see old footage at Ohio State, even
yes.
in the 80s?
It doesn't look
with
like
the track.
A, well, when we got there, I will say this. Like they couldn't believe how big it was. And then I told them this building was built in 1922. And my son and his buddy Gavin were like, oh, my goodness. And I go, and I showed him. I go, see, this is the outside. I go, there is the 1922 yeah. building. Because they built it bigger as time went on. It originally started, what, 66,000, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken, which nobody felt they could fill it even then, and obviously it's up to 102, 103, somewhere in that capacity. Anyway, I'm you know I've been staunch on this, and I won't be very long because we've talked about it to death. I think all pro facilities, all pro stadiums should have grass, no matter what. Figure it out. We have the technology. If we can convince people that AI is real and that... I mean, that video of the president-elect and his cabinet sitting there in that plane doing God knows what the people have animated it with, yeah. then I think we could find technology to make grass grow if you have an indoor facility of some sort.
Well, if you're paying $20 million for your roster in college.
Exactly.
Too.
That's what I'm thinking about. I go, why can we not go back to grass?
So is
what
it,
is
no,
the problem?
No, now, let me ask you.
You spend all this money on
Kenny,
all these other things. You can't have grass at Ohio Stadium?
Kenny, we're complaining. In real life now, we are still debating... vaccines and fluoride in the water. Like
well,
we're debating
this
these things.
This is where I wanted to take this
well,
conversation.
The reason is there are peer-reviewed papers on all this stuff, right? Both for and against everything nowadays. Anything, no matter what it is. Okay?
Mm.
I don't know enough about any of this grass stuff. I have no idea.
Horticulturalists.
What is the definitive conclusion, or is there not one? Are there
Get
still
in.
Differing beliefs on this?
If you run a golf course, 216-474-0092, landscapers,
Agronomists.
Please. Yes. People who grow pot in their basement before it was legalized, 216-474-0092. If you're Ashland University, I love Ashland University. I'll use them as an example. You want turf at Jack Miller Stadium? Use turf at Jack Miller Stadium. You're Ohio State. You're Notre Dame. Michigan. Grass. It's grass. It's been... The J.C. Trenor has written about it. To me, reading it, it's provable. Grass. First off, I love the aesthetic. Second of all, yeah, I know. It costs more. Yeah, I'm not talking about Bedford High School. Go ahead and put turf out there. I get that. But if you're spending allegedly $20 million on your roster, if you're willing to offer Bryce Underwood $10.5 million, according to one report, now I don't know if that's real or not because it's all funny money, but if there are actually reports of Dave Portnoy's willing to offer $1 million to somebody and over to play quarterback in Michigan, put grass there. Grass. When the Browns build their new stadium, find a way to put grass there. I'm serious. Find grass. It's not going to get rid of all the injuries, but I'm telling you, I think it's going to help some of them. You spend so much money on these athletes. You spend so much money on all of it. Find a way to put grass there.
Kenny, I miss the old stadium, and I saw highlights from the game of the century, 2006, right? Or was it 2007?
Yeah.
Detroit Smith versus
six?
Michigan, number one versus number
six.
Two.
Six.
Number, yeah, six. Because it was the Florida year. So yeah. The year they got trounced by Florida.
Well, I didn't think it was going to go that way.
After,
watch that game in Columbus.
After they do Script Ohio, you can see the outline of Script Ohio mm-hmm. in the grass. I miss that.
Yeah.
miss that. So for
it's
no
awesome.
Other reason.
You don't get that with the slit film surface.
No.
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 Now, if you had a monofilament, maybe.
I didn't even tell them
talking.
Before this. I didn't even tell them before this. And I'll finish with this. We went way too long on turf, but either way. my son and his buddy, because I didn't even tell him before. At that 2006 game, my buddy Matt Darr was down there with his dad, and they ripped up some of the turf, and Matt got me some of that turf. And before they took Fawcett Stadium and turned it into, well, they changed it before, and then they turned it into Tom Benson. I got some of that turf. My son, this is real grass, my son and his buddies were picking out the rubber pellets at Ohio Stadium and got like a little like sample in the middle of their hand, and they held onto it and put it in their pockets so they could take some of it home. I put some of it in a Ziploc bag. Rubber pellets is not the same as dirt.
That's true.
Gotta have the dirt. And now I know if they didn't play on turf, we probably wouldn't have been able to do that earlier this month, Owen. I mean, you got to take that into effect.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But put it on grass. It's meant for grass.